Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, doing 1-3 purple therapy here in the aftermath of a really a bad beatdown. I opined during the game, like, I don't remember anything. Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans, the loss to Peyton Middle, big losses, but not games where the injuries pile up in a game of this magnitude, this time in the season, after the Orioles sort of ended their season at about the quarter pole. We're at the quarter pole here, and it's problematic. We're going to try to put it together. We're going to have some crab cakes that may at least soothe my soul down at Fadley's on Wednesday. I'll have some scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Ravens scratch-offs. Can't say it's been a lucky batch or an unlucky batch. I know it's been an unlucky start to the season, and Luke Jones will be out in Owings Mills all week long, getting ready for the Houston Texans and trying to pick up the pieces of a crazy loss and a week where the infirmary report's going to be important. And the only thing that really matters is 1-3 at this point, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, they got to find a way to win a football game. They've got to get healthy, and they've got to find a way to win a football game. When you're going through something like this, and I mentioned it in our previous segment, and we'll continue to talk about it over the course of the week or however long this stretch goes where they're losing football games, right? I mean, it's still very early. There's still 13 games to go, which is an eternity, right? I mean, Kansas City lost 3 out of 4 going into of like Thanksgiving into December 2 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl 7 weeks later, right? So I think it's important to recognize that at the same time, when you're in it and when you're this team that has the expectations that they had coming into the season, this team that has had so much regular season success, I think it's tough to kind of fight the, like, what's going on here, right? I mean, the obvious are the injuries, right? And they have to get healthy. I mean, what happened to them over the course of the Kansas City game? And it's not like they had all these injuries for the Buffalo game or you know, even Detroit. They were without Matabike and they were without Van Noy. But, you know, the way it piled up. I mean, the truth is, when you're missing that many guys from your defense and you're playing a really good opponent, you're not going to win many of those games. I mean, you're just not. So, but that said, there's still so much more meat on the bone in terms of things that you just don't like right now. But for them internally, you really do just have to try to compartmentalize and focus on the task at hand this week. You can't go from 1-3 to 6-3 next Sunday, right? I mean, you win by 50 points, you're still only going to be 2-3, right? I mean, you have to view it through the lens of focusing on right now. You have to block out what fans are saying and what guys like you and me are saying right now, because there's not a whole lot good, obviously, to say. That's the Captain Obvious statement. But you just have to get back to, like, playing the way you're capable of playing. I mean, even with the injuries, let's not act like that was I've seen some people say gutless. That was just very, I harped a whole lot on their first drive of the third quarter, but you know, they, after that opening touchdown drive, I mean, their offense was disjointed. I mean, delay of games, Lamar throws a bad pick. You know, he's an intentional grounding. The protection wasn't good. I still don't know what they were trying to do in terms of running the ball, right? I mean, like, it was just bad across the board. I mean, yeah, you can find an individual performer here or there doing some nice things. I'm not going to say every single player on the entire roster was horrible, but the collective, like all three phases, they were bad. I mean, that was just bad.
Well, let's start with Lamar. Let's work our way down as we, because talking about the plays in the game, especially once the third quarter came and they're out there playing with an August, preseason squad, and you're getting a scorecard and we're trying to figure out who else in the game and who's this Martin guy. And, so Lamar and the supporting cast around him, and what needs to be done to make Lamar successful above and beyond Lamar another year older, whether he's as fast as he used to be, certainly smarter than he used to be in regard to reading defenses and more capable than he's ever been of throwing the football. But all that being said, He ran a little bit more. He had to. Sometimes it feels like he's running for his life. How the Ronnie Stanley thing factors in. And then I'll go back to the success level on first down and how that changes everything they're trying to do. And making him a pocket passer and getting him sacked. That the fact that he has been sacked as much as he has through four games is stunning.
It is. And as we talked about in the aftermath of the Detroit game, I think there were multiple layers to that. I don't think it was solely the offensive line. I think there were a couple instances where Lamar, frankly, held the ball too long. I think there were some times where I think just pre-snap stuff, which is on Lamar or, Linderbaum, whatever, where you kind of looked at some of what they were doing in that passing game against Detroit, where, they only had two or three guys out on routes. I mean, if you're keeping six or seven in the block, but then Detroit's only rushing four. I mean, like, do the math. Like, those numbers aren't going to add up the way you want them to. So it's absolutely been a problem. But to bring it back to Kansas City specifically, they have a good opening drive. They got Mark Andrews involved right away. A couple early completions for him, a couple early completions for Lamar. Derrick Henry had a 14-yard run. That first drive was great. I mean, that felt really good. I mean, they had the big third and two conversion, Justice Hill, where they, a little bit of a change up there. They ran an early screen to Derrick Henry. So, some of what we were talking about in terms of, when's Derrick Henry on the field? When is Justice Hill coming onto the field and passing situations and Henry comes off? You do have to throw some change ups in there,
Yeah,
right?
how we're not trying to be predictable.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly. And I thought they did a good job of that last year. You kind of look at Derrick Henry, not that he caught a ton of passes last year, but it was enough. It was enough to just keep the opposition thinking. So I think they did some of that on that first drive, but then you kind of see it just kind of went downhill. I mean, they put together another nice drive where, I mean, I guess what they got the unnecessary roughness penalty from Cook, so that put them in Kansas City territory. And then they bring a blitz and Lamar makes an ill-advised 50-50 ball kind of throw and it gets picked off. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed, right? And they started having pre-snap issues with, either lining up incorrectly. I mean, there were a couple, what, they had two delay of games and a three-play period. I mean, I don't care if you're in Kansas City. That can't happen. That can't happen with a two-time MVP quarterback. And I'm not saying it's all Lamar, whatever about the operation. Wherever the breakdown was there, whether it was Lamar, whether it was the play coming in late, whether it was yes to multiple portions of that, like you can't have that. So then, you have a grounding and, then it's, I mean, it snowballed. And meanwhile, your defense isn't getting any stops. They held them to a field goal the first couple drives. And then after that, the floodgates just completely opened. So you just see that this thing's snowballing. And from that point, I mean, their offense just, they got the late field goal going into half, which felt like it was a nice little shot in the arm. Not that all was well, but a little bit of a 6-point swing there. Butker misses a long field goal and Tyler Loop's able to, they make a couple plays to get in field goal range. And you're thinking, okay, as bad as the first half felt, it's a 10-point game, right? I mean, that's hardly insurmountable. They've come back, despite what the narrative was 6 years ago on Lamar Jackson-led offense. They've come back in games before. We've seen it. But again, that's where I go to that first drive of the second half where it felt like they were establishing the run and kind of getting into what they do best, where it's some Derrick Henry, it's some Lamar Jackson running, and then you can start, with some play action. And, it was kind of over at that point, right? When they try to throw on third and three inside the red zone and get sacked, and then they settle for a field goal. It was over. For all intents and purposes, it was over. And then, Lamar gets hurt late in the third quarter. And I mean, it's bad. It's just really bad. I mean, I sound very like I'm repeating myself here, but it's kind of confounding how bad it was. And I get it. Ronnie Stanley leaving the game's not ideal. I get that, but my goodness, they played the better part of like 3.5 seasons without him, right? I mean, they
It
second.
doesn't feel like they're doing things well. You know what I
No,
mean?
they're.
Scheming well, preparing well, alignment assignment technique. They're not winning battles at the line of scrimmage, right? But when Lamar is holding the ball, patting it, and getting sacked or running for his life, it means that guys are covered. It means guys aren't
Sure.
getting open. That's really
Sure.
what it means.
And really, I mean, we saw that happen as the second half went on in Detroit. Even though, like, you look at Lamar's final stats, and let me be clear, I didn't think Lamar played a bad football game against Detroit by any stretch of the imagination. Look at the numbers. He made some great throws. But I think what concerned me about that second half was, yes, him being sacked, but also him starting to look in a way that I haven't seen him look in a few years. And that's really doubting his protection. Even at times when the protection wasn't bad, and there were plenty of times it was bad, but you started to see Lamar's footwork get sloppy, and he's holding the ball too long, or forced it, didn't force it too many times, didn't have that many incompletions last week. But I just felt like it was, first drive aside, a big time carryover from what we saw last week. And yes, it absolutely does not help when Ronnie Stanley's missing from the field, right? I mean, Joseph Noteboom is, in the same way that Patrick McCary wasn't a healthy Ronnie Stanley, Noteboom's certainly not a healthy Stanley, but I can't put it all on that, right? I mean, they still had plenty of talent and the rest of their offense pretty much intact, other than that. At that point, now, then obviously, Lamar leaves the game, and you have Cooper Rush doing whatever the heck he was doing on that fourth down play, which again didn't matter, but it's kind of like, you're a veteran backup, right? Like, what was that? But I mean, it's, again, I'll go back to my point where, yeah, they've scored a lot of points so far this year, but it's just been this really up and down where, when it's been great, it's been great, but they've had some stretches here where it's been bad. And they haven't been able to sustain drives in the way that you think of. Not as much of a Todd Monken thing, because that was way more of a Greg Roman thing, but certainly when you had Derrick Henry run for 1,900 yards last year, you were able to sustain drives and pound the rock and control the clock a little bit more, which feels like the way you're going to have to play, in the sense of, not that you just need to score points. I mean, and look, if the opposition's going to let you score on three plays, like, you have to score on three plays, right? You're not going to, like, just deliberately play 4 yards at a time, right? I'm not suggesting that, but you want to be able to play in a way that you can run the ball, and you can move the chains, and you can sustain, and you can have a 5, a 6, a 7 minute drive that results in a touchdown, because you need to be efficient inside the red zone. But then that also does keep your defense off the field, and it keeps guys who are playing more now that aren't accustomed, or they weren't planning on playing as much as they are. I mean, look at someone like John Jenkins, who goes into the year as, their fifth defensive line, fourth or fifth defensive lineman, and now, he's kind of the most trustworthy guy up front, for that defensive line, at least on Sunday when Travis Jones was out. And obviously Matt Ibike and Broderick Washington on IR now for three more games after this, at a minimum. So you do have a lot of that going on. So that's where you'd like to think, one, your offense can just carry the heavier part of the weight, just because it is this explosive offense that has all this talent and has one of the very best quarterbacks on the planet, if not the best, over the last couple of years. And they weren't able to do that on Sunday. I mean, after the opening drive, I mean, it was very just not good. I mean, it just wasn't.
Well, you got to drive your assets, right? And if your assets are the big bad Derrick Henry and
Yeah.
speedy, tricky, hard to bring down Lamar are part of this, while Zay Flowers is zigging and Bateman is zagging and Andrews is sitting behind a safety somewhere or in front of a safety somewhere. And all the blockers are blocking. And we can continue to go back to the fact that Lamar's getting a rest because the offensive line isn't good enough in
Hasn't
totality.
been very good, yeah.
Ronnie Stanley now problematic, and then throw Lamar on top of that. So let's go back to Lamar. Luke Jones is here. He is in on the GBMC hotline. I want to give a shout out to my friends at Curio Wellness as well, and Foreign Daughter for making this 27th anniversary happen, getting me out on the road, eating more than just crab cakes, eating more food. I have to figure out some cool stuff to do during the holidays. Maybe do some eggnog tasting contest or something like that. Some pumpkin pie eating or apple cider donut eating. But I'm getting skinny. My Planet Fitness friends are making that happen for me. But I am with Curia Wellness. It's all out now. We're down to number one. Number one. I'm not going to give it away. Go to Baltimore Positive, find out what number one is. But we've been counting it down with our friends at Curia. So, Luke, Lamar's injury. Let's go back to number one. Let's start at the top. We haven't gotten to the defense yet. We haven't gotten to the kicking game and Harbaugh and just in general injuries. We'll get to all of that. But Lamar's injury and hamstring and whatever speculation will be to speculate this week, because I don't know that they're just going to stand him upright on Wednesday and run him around on practice, because that tends to not be the way John does things. But there is a level of craziness that happens when you're 1-3, no matter what. Even if you're the Jets, even if you're the Browns, you're 1-3, you're 1-3. Nobody expects to be 1-3. Nobody wants to be 1-3. Even the teams that sort of deep down know they stink, when they're 1-3, they don't want to believe it. They want to believe Joe Flacco is going to go out next week and they're going to win a game again. And this league proves that that's possible. Look at the Giants, right, this week, right? So anything's possible. But I don't know what's possible with Cooper Rush. I know it's not a Super Bowl.
Well, and I mean, obviously, and I don't think there's any reason to think that this is a long-term injury for Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, we've seen individuals have hamstring tears, off the bone, they're carted off, they're gone. Dak Prescott was a perfect example of that. Not long, what, last year, I guess it was.
Well, he doesn't need to be that injured to not be
But
as effective as he needs to be this week to
sure.
play,
Well,
right?
but that's, that's where it is tricky with someone who absolutely can play from the pocket exponentially better than he did as a rookie or his first couple years. But at the same
He can't
time,
protect himself. He can't get away. He
like
can't run.
it's one thing to talk about if it's a little sore. It's another thing, okay, is that going to let Lamar be Lamar? And Houston, regardless of the fact they're 1-3, I mean, that is a defense that has some talent. I'll beg some ignorance because I haven't really watched them a whole lot through the first few weeks, because but and I'll do that this over the next couple of days. But they certainly have, it's not as though they've been blown out in all their games, and they've had a talented defense the last couple of years. They're going to be aware of that. So it is one of those situations where, how bad is the hamstring? Can he play with it? Can he play with it and still be 90% of himself, right? If he's 50% of himself, then no, th then he needs to sit out. And you do have to view it through the lens. I think this is where things are interesting, because they do have a week 7 bye that's coming up in a couple weeks, where th that's going to make it interesting for, frankly, all these guys. I mean, Roquan Smith has a hamstring, all that. But to bring it back to Lamar specifically, you do have to view it through the lens of, yeah, you really want him out there, because there's no guarantee that you can win a game with Cooper Rush, certainly against even Houston, let alone talking about the Rams, who I think are a very good football team. Houston, I think the jury's, to be kind, the jury's out when they're 1-3 also. But you also do have to look at the big picture here, right? If it's you tweak your ankle or you got some sore ribs, there are certain injuries that you can play through.
And 3-1's different than 1-3.
Yeah, but 1-3 is also different than 6-9, right? Where or 6-9's, yeah, that your season's
Right. You're
shot.
over, right.
But let's say 6-5, let's say, where it's starting to get late early at that point in time. 1-3, there's still so much football left, and you do have a bye in a couple weeks, that I do think you have to be smart about this, even if, yeah, like
Can't be
you're
1-5, dog.
I understand. But if Lamar Jackson plays on an injured hamstring and then
You can't win anyway.
blows
Right.
it or blows it out, and then he's out 2 months, then the season's totally shot, right? So it's tough. Like, and we're
Well, it's gonna be a
purely
big mystery this week. I mean, you're gonna be out on the practice field
oh sure
Wednesday waiting it out, and it's gonna be an infirmary report this week with our GBMC friends, right?
Yeah. I mean, no question about it. I mean, these injuries, I mean, I know fans are frustrated, and You don't want to make it sound like an excuse because that defense was playing poorly before all those guys went down with injuries.
Yeah, but I don't want to
But
see Roquan Smith in street clothes in the
of
third quarter.
course, of course. But because what purpose does that serve other than just being mad and like, you know, you can just lash out like as a fan base or as media talking about, you know, how bad the team stinks, whatever. It's not good. But at the same time, you'd love to get to 3-3 at the bye week. I mean, the worst. You know, the absolute worst you want to be is 2-4, right? 2-4 is still like that's bad, but it's not insurmountable. The season's over bad, right? Like 0-6 would be that. But, you know, if you're 1-5, I mean, you know, I'm just having 2015 flashbacks, you know, which is the last time the Ravens started 1-3. But, you know, the injuries piled up that year, but they were bad even before the injuries really started to mount that year. You know, Joe Flacco went out in what, late November, whatever it was. I mean, season was already shot, you know, by the time they lost Joe and Steve Smith and some of those guys. Suggs was the big one they lost in week one. But you also like it's just tough because you want to win these next two games so badly, but you also have to recognize there's 3 more months of season after that that you can't force it. If you're talking, especially when you're talking about injuries that have a high setback rate, like a hamstring can, I mean, how many times have you seen, whether you're talking any sport, goes out there, tries to play on a hamstring, and then they hurt it even further, and then they're out twice as long as they might have been to begin with, right? So it's tough. I mean, obviously you want Lamar out there, and I don't think he necessarily needs to be 100% perfectly healthy to go, but it can't be 50% either. I mean, it just can't. And we talked about that a lot 3 years ago and 4 years ago. I mean, when he had the ankle bruise, you know, in 2021, he legitimately couldn't play, no questions asked. We saw him out there on the practice field once, and I mean, he walked around like Fred Sanford, like he couldn't walk even, let alone play. So that was, but you know, when there was as much discourse as there was 2 years or 3 years ago when he had the knee, which don't get me wrong, that was a 100% absolutely a legitimate knee injury. But there was also the, you know, the discourse about can you put a brace on it? How much can you do? How much like Lamar can you be?
It was
And
all
keep
the
it
contract nonsense too.
and the contract was a big part about that. Now, some people will point out, yeah, there's a renegotiation that's going to have to take place this March. But no, like I just have a tough time putting that out there, like with any to any meaningful degree, in the same way that, you know, people spec, and I don't think anyone, you know, who's being measured about it, but, you know, people speculating like, you know, that John Harbaugh just pulled Lamar there. Like it was 30, you know, it was a 17-point game at that point. The game was not over. You know, it's still late in the
You're not
third quarter.
conceding to the Kansas City
No,
Chiefs,
of
no matter
course not. Of
what.
course not. So, but, you know, how bad is this, right? I mean, if there's one thing you could say about those two previous injuries that Lamar had, certainly wasn't a fast healer. And I, again, I'm not, let me be clear, I'm not insinuating anything there, but they were two injuries that they at least initially
They lingered. They
thought
did.
there was chance of him coming back, and he didn't. So regardless of reasons why, but you know, it's just the bye week makes this really tricky. I mean, it really does because, you know, you kind of view it through the lens of, let's say you think it's something where it might take him 2 or 3 weeks to really be fully himself, but you're 1-3 and you desperately need to win at least one of these next 2 games. So, you know, what is the threshold for him saying he's going to play, for the training staff and the doctors to say it's good enough for him to play? Or is it just flat out a thing where it's or a situation where this is extremely risky to put him out there, and on top of that, there's the possibility of, you know, either a re-injury or just him not being his normal effective self, and how that can impact you. So, I mean, it's not good. You know, it's the obvious statement. You know, the immediate aftermath of the game, I don't think anyone can really say for sure. You know, I know that the Dr. David Chow's of social media in the football world will look at it. I know initially he said it didn't look like it was a severe hamstring injury, but you know, even a minor hamstring injury, you know, That's normally a week or two, right? So, but can this team afford to not have Lamar for the next couple of weeks, right? I mean, it's tough. I mean, it
No.
really is.
I
It
think
really
they
is.
can't afford to not have him, and they can't afford to have him play at 70% either, right?
Yeah. I mean, sure. You can have a situation where he goes out there, it's a little tender. You lean on Derrick Henry a little more. Maybe that's the smoking gun that gets Keaton Mitchell active. And you just say, we're going to play it like 2018 when we handed the ball to Gus Edwards and go through the list of guys they had at that point in time, or 2019 when it was Ingram, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, right? Where you just three-headed monster and you just try to pound the rock as much as you can. And you have Isaiah Likely back, even though, didn't call his name at all on Sunday. And you've got play action that you can run with Andrews and him. And you can ugly your way to a 17-13 win over the Texans, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. That's saying a lot about the state of the defense, right? I mean, if the defense could even perform like that right now, even against CJ Stroud, and a Texans offense that, isn't impressing anyone right now, other than if you think the Tennessee Titans are any good, which they're horrendous. But man, it's not good. It's just not. And when I say it's not good, I mean that more in the short-term immediate range, because I do think with these injuries, guys will come back. But when and how effective and what could the additional damage potentially be in the meantime, right? So, mean, the bye week, it's funny because the schedule comes out and everyone says right away, oh man, an early bye. You want to have the late bye. You love to have, like last year, they had it in December. They came out healthy, this was such a healthy team overall until Zay Flowers at the very end of the regular season. And now you're looking at it and you're saying, man, the bye, it's week seven. You wish it was right now, right? I mean, you wish it could be right now based on starting with Lamar, but going down the list of everyone else. So it's going to be a very interesting week in that way. And obviously, these guys, the medical staff, the training staff, I mean, the round the clock treatment for all these guys, right? I mean, everyone that's not on IR right now, round the clock. And, I suspect some of them will be able to play this week, but I don't know. I mean,
Well, there's a sense of urgency at 1-3 that this organization hasn't had in years.
sure. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, just because I think they're absolutely capable of overcoming this early season hole, and just because, yes, there are 13 games left, and just because I don't think a whole lot of the AFC North, I'm still not a huge believer in the Pittsburgh Steelers, other than just being what they've been in recent years, which is fringe playoff team, but not like this juggernaut. I certainly don't believe in Cincinnati. Cleveland has no quarterback. So, all that being said, 1-3 is still 1-3. And right now, for me, it's where is this team between the ears, in addition to how banged up they are, because this is where things can, man, you just start to doubt. You start to doubt the coaches, you start to doubt your teammates, you doubt yourself. And that's where things can spiral, even for what I still think is in the big picture, still a darn good football team, but they are not that right now, that's for sure. And as they're presently constructed in terms of the infirmary report, they might not, it might be the bye week, post bye week, until you can really start truly starting to feel some confidence again. So it's all about Houston this week. It's all about, duct taping this thing together however you can, coming up with a game plan. We haven't talked at all about Zach Orr and the defensive coaching staff to this point. We can talk about that, as we go on. But man, you have to look at what you have right now and you have to be realistic about that. You're not going to be able to play defense. Not that what they were doing was working particularly well even before these injuries, but you certainly can't try to play defense the same exact way if, you're going to be without Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins and Roquan Smith.
And you can't rush the passer to begin
And,
with.
your defense, maybe, Van Noy did a pregame workout. You'd like to think he's probably a good chance to come back this week, so that'll be good. But what about the rest of these guys? Is Travis Jones going to be ready? Travis Jones practiced on a limited basis for a couple days this week, but I didn't like what I him when he left the game against Detroit at the end of the at the end of the fourth or midway through the fourth quarter. He couldn't put any He wasn't trying to put much weight on that knee. So, how long is that for him to be feeling himself, knowing that Madubuike is not coming back anytime soon? So, I mean, this is when coaching, you've got to figure out what's going to work best here. And that might include you got to come up with your best game plan for Cooper Rush being your quarterback, which he's won games. That's why the Ravens went out and signed him when they did. They wanted him over Josh Johnson and
Well,
Tyler Huntley.
Lamar playing 17 games, you sort of know that that's not the way it works in the league. And if it's like starting pitching. We talk about that, all off season here. How many starts? What's realistic? How many at bats are
Sure.
realistic for Lamar at this point?
Well, you just know it can
And
happen to any quarterback. I mean, it doesn't even have to be just about Lamar. I
you
mean,
better
Joe.
think about your backup playing two or three games and whether you can survive that,
Yeah,
right?
well, and if they can't, then it was a waste to sign Cooper Rush, and you should have signed someone else, right? I mean, they were able, it's not as though Tyler Huntley never won a game for the Ravens, right? I mean, not that he was great by any stretch of the imagination,
By the way, I saw
but
Gardner Minshew running around
you
early
have
in the
to.
game there, and I'm like, you always know a Gardner Minshew when you see him.
But and you know me, I going back to years ago with Joe Flacco, I have never been one that subscribes to spending a whole lot of money or dumping assets to the backup quarterback too much because,
Unless your starter stinks.
well, sure, yeah, I mean that's a different discussion. But I always go back to the Tom Moore school of thought when he was in Indianapolis and the Monday Night Crew came and asked why the backup quarterback never got any reps, and his quote was, "If 18 gets hurt, talking Peyton Manning, we're bleeped." And we don't practice being bleeped around here. So I subscribe to that. But the point is you need at least a backup that you feel good enough about that if Lamar Jackson has to miss Sunday or has to miss the next two games, can Cooper Rush help you win at least one of those, right? 2-4 is bad. I'm not saying anyone's feeling good about that, but
Well,
two and
Snoop
four.
almost won a playoff game around it, but he had talent around him. You
Well, and
the Ronnie Stanleys and the
this
Roquan
offense,
Smiths and the Marlon,
but
and the defensive line, all of that.
this offense still has plenty of healthy talent right now. And I get the Stanley thing, and I'm not saying that that's good because it's not. But they also, like I said, they played the better part of a few seasons without Ronnie Stanley, right? And even when he was out there, a very diminished version of him. So that's not unprecedented for this franchise. So that's where I just look at this thing. And if Lamar can't go this week, then Todd Monken, you better get in your bag and figure out the best way to put together a game plan when you still have Derrick Henry and you have Justice Hill. And yeah, throw Keaton Mitchell into that mix. It might be time to bring him out of the garage and see if you can give him 4 or 5 touches and see if he can break one for 60 yards the way he did 2 years ago before he got hurt. And you still have these wide receivers, 1 through 4. I'll throw DeVonta Walker into that picture because he's looked good. Or so far this season, I mean, in very limited opportunities. And you've got a healthy Isaiah Likely back in addition to Mark Andrews. So there is a lot there, even if the Ronnie Stanley question is there this week. There's a lot there that this team shouldn't be in a position where they can't score a point with Cooper Rush as their quarterback, right? So the game plan changes big time. There's no question about that. You're clearly not calling the same plays remotely for Cooper Rush, but you knew that, right? Because you signed Cooper Rush back in March. So this is not a, this is something that
There was a plan
you're
B, even though we
planning
are
for.
bleeped.
Yeah. I mean, you have to you plan for that. Hey, Cooper Rush got a ton of reps in the spring. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Lamar wasn't at OTAs, right? So Cooper Rush got a ton of work with the
People
ones.
paid to watch him
So
play.
yeah. So so that's where you look at this thing and believe me. If Lamar Jackson can play, he'll be out there, of course. But you also cannot lose your minds that and treat this like it's week 18 and you need to win this game to make the playoffs, right? You still have to balance the urgency of the moment while also acknowledging there is 13 games to go. There's 3 months to go in the season. And if you put Lamar out there at a time when he has no business being out there, then you run the risk of this thing completely, truly being sunk. Lots of fans are saying after Sunday's game, the season's over. No, of course it's not. I mean, that's just it's dumb to say that. 1-3, you can be frustrated. You can be ticked. You can be calling for changes. not necessarily the most extreme, but somewhere within the reasonable realm of, do you need to swap up how you're doing things coaching staff wise? Do you need to bench so and so and play this guy? And I'll hear all that when you're 1-3. The season's not over, but the urgency level, it's rising. It's rising rapidly. As I said, I use the term, and I would have used this had the Ravens lost 27-24 and they hadn't lost four more, five more players, whatever it was, on top of what they were already dealing with. Look, it would have felt 1-3 doesn't feel good, no matter the circumstances. But I absolutely would have been much more. It's 13 games to go. Get through these next two games, get a couple wins under your belt. Schedule looks so much better after the bye. But when it's 1-3 and you got your feelings hurt because you got your butts kicked and you lost the number of players you lost in addition to the guys that were already hurt, it feels horrible. It absolutely does. I'm
It would
not.
feel bad if you were 2-2 and all these guys were hurt. It would. It wouldn't feel good.
I mean, let's say what happened in Buffalo hadn't happened and they held on and won, right? And they were 2-0, but they'd lost the last two games. Yeah, that would feel pretty rotten right now too, because you'd be saying, my goodness, they were 2-0 and they had this chance to be 4-0 and maybe a chance of having a perfect record going into the bye, and now they're hurt and they've lost two. So, I mean, it's look.
Boy, seeing the body of work, I laugh at that because I've watched them play the last month, and I mean, they're so far from 4-0. They're so far from winning four games in a row right now, based on what I'm seeing from them because of the injuries, because of I mean, if you're going to tell me you're going to take Marlon Humphrey and either make him stink or get him off the field,
Yeah, I mean,
Roquan Smith, in addition to that, you're going to take the entire defensive line away, and you're going to take Ronnie Stanley away. I'm going to tell you, they're going to struggle to win football games if that's the case. And
sure.
that's beyond Lamar having a hamstring
Oh,
issue.
yeah. I mean, Lamar, in the same way that, I mean, Joe Burrow right now, you and I aren't giving 5 seconds of meaningful oxygen to the Cincinnati Bengals right now because Joe Burrow's most likely out for the year. Or if he comes back, they're going to probably be so far out of it, it's not going to matter.
And to your
But
point, you got to make sure Lamar's not there. That's all.
sure, right.
Yeah.
And that's where you just look at this thing and it's tough. I mean, it's a hamstring. Again, if he had a bruised knee or some sore ribs or an injury to his
Yeah,
non-throwing
I
shoulder.
guarantee you go up to Lamar Wentz, he has it feeling. It's freaking sore.
I mean,
It's a hamstring. If it was sore on Sunday, it's going to be sore on Wednesday. It is.
I mean, and so here's the caveat that maybe you take some optimism from. He clearly, again, he got hurt. However, maybe it was the most minor of, he felt it grab a little bit. Look, it was really hot in Kansas City. I mean, watching at home, like it was in the mid 80s, right? At kickoff.
88, a kickoff.
So maybe, so here's your positive spin if you're envisioning a best case scenario. This ended up being more of a cramp than an actual hamstring strain. And he gets some fluids and he rests it. And maybe he doesn't practice Wednesday because anyone would tell you, if you get a bad cramp, once every couple months, I wake up with a calf cramp, which is, just the joys of getting older and probably not hydrating as well as I should. But it's just a cramp. But you know what? It's sore the next day. Your best case scenario is maybe this is more of that for Lamar. And if that's the case, hydrates the next couple of days, give him a couple of days of rest, maybe he sits out Wednesday, and maybe he's good to go next Sunday. And if you're John Harbaugh and the coaching staff, when you're down 17 and he is a little banged up and you're not quite sure, you're hoping it's just like, hey, it's just the very start of a hamstring strain. We certainly don't want to push it here, especially when we're down 17 and this isn't trending well. Let's shut it down. There's the scenario for shutting it down where it kind of makes sense, right? Because you don't want to make it any worse. And if that's the case and he's able to play Sunday, then that was smart. Then that was whoever made that final call, whether it's Harbaugh, the trainer, whoever, then bravo. But
Well,
we
I
don't
know a
know.
great
It's
sports
conjecture.
massage therapist here, Luke. So,
But
if any.
sure. But that's just conjecture right now. We don't know. I mean, we're gonna see how this plays out to some degree. I certainly don't expect John Harbaugh to be very revealing the daily updates or anything like that. I mean, I think we all understand that, but
Well, whether he's out on the field Wednesday or Thursday will tell you a
and
lot.
that'll be the big thing. If
Yeah.
he's not practicing all, if he's not out there by Friday, then we'll probably know our answer. But if it's, like I said, minor and treatment, and he rests a few days, and you get him out there by Friday, and he can log a limited practice, and he's moving around well, and all that, then he can go Sunday, and then you'll feel so much better about, not perfect, but so much better about this football team as it currently stands. I mean, some of these other guys with hamstrings and calves and all that, like, again, you kind of, when you have soft tissue injuries like that, you kind of have to look at it in terms of, all right, maybe they're out this week. Maybe they could play against the Rams, but you know what? They'll be 100% if we can hold them out to the bye week. But how many guys can you afford to do that with right now, given the state of your defense and everything? So it's tricky. I mean, you can't treat it like it's December. I mean, you just can't. Even being 1-3, you have to still view the
Well,
big
it feels like
picture.
December early right now, and it's
But
not
it's
even through September at this point.
not, that it's not in the same way that, if you start out 5-1 and then you lose 3 out of 4 after that, yeah, you feel rotten about it in the moment, but no one's saying the season's over at that point. So you have to view it through that lens. Let me be clear, because you made a comparison to the Orioles. The Ravens are not 16-34 right now. The 16-34 season was over for the Orioles, period. The season is not over for this football
One and
team, but
five?
1-5, you're
One and
really,
four? They're either going to be 2 and 4 or 2 and 3 or 2 and 3 or 1 and 4 at the end of this week, right? So
I mean, that's
neither
why I
one of
said,
them are good, but 1 and 4 is a mess.
and like I said, I mean, if you are entertaining the scenario where Lamar has to miss a couple games, gosh, you have to somehow, some way, figure out a way to be 2-4 at a minimum. I mean, because 1-5.
I don't even want to think about him not playing this week.
Sure,
So, you know,
sure.
by the way, Luke will have all the injury reports, everything coming out. Our friends at GBMC have sponsored us. We've talked about all sorts of things, including my colonoscopy that's coming up in November. Yes, I have my date. It's Thanksgiving week. I'm going to be talking to the docs. I'm trying to encourage everyone else out there, like me, who doesn't listen, to go listen because it's important. I say that with a straight face, even though I'm not looking forward to this, but I'm gonna make my way through it. Luke is gonna be here all week long as well, and we're trying to pick up the pieces of really the most unlikely thing. I don't think any of us really thought we'd be at this point at 1 and 3. And obviously, the injuries are so important. If you're on the WNSD tech service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, you'll get those updates during the week. And obviously, listen to us here at WNSD and AM 1570 and all the cool stuff that we do out in social media. Wednesday, we're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out. We'll be at Fadley's down at Lexington Market. Felicia Porter, our city councilwoman, will be joining us. I always love spending time with Felicia, so that'll be great. I'm going to order off menu. I'm going to get some mac and cheese and some other things. I'm going to wander the market as I am known to do, and I will be giving out Raven scratch-offs courtesy of the Maryland Lottery on Wednesday. And then we're at Costas next Monday after the Houston game. We're going to be at the Costas in Timonium in the afternoon next Monday. And I hear the horses. All right, horses for courses. We're going to come back, continue to talk about these injuries, which ones are the most acute, which ones are getting in the way. And none of them are good. And it all started with Matt Abike like 5 minutes ago. And now look what happened to the season. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're still 1 and 3. We're doing purple therapy. We're WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.